Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? Hope all having a great day so far. Start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, so much for this day and for all the blessings you give us, and that we all can get something out of your word today. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I turn my phone down, hear myself twice. So today, continue with Peter's journeys. We're in it's the third day we've been doing this, and he is on the. They have gone up to Caesarea Philippi. Again, I'm not following all of his journeys, just picking out a few where Peter was kind of the center of attention. Of course, he was with Jesus the entire time through his travels, but I'm mainly focusing on times that Peter was in the limelight, that particular episode, and after Jesus' death and resurrection, we'll continue on, and then I'll actually start into the actual journeys of him when he was after Pentecost time frame. But today we're in Caesarea Philippi, and this is a what I'm going to call Peter's best day and worst day. he started off really well, and then it went downhill from there. But stop in Matthew 16:13, and what I try to do is compare the Gospels that it appears in. So today's going to be a little bit lengthy because the story is in almost all the Gospels except John. I'll start reading here in... When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." I want to emphasize something here that a lot of people like to take this particular and give some kind of symbology that Peter is the rock. And I truly believe that if you were standing there watching this, Jesus was actually pointing to himself, because Peter does mean, it actually means stone, not rock, his name. And I think that he was using an analogy here to indicate to himself, because we all know that the rock reference all through the Bible speaks of Jesus himself. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. At this point, I'm just going to bring in a few pictures that I found. It's interesting that he said that, because they actually call Caesarea Philippi gateway to hell. I wonder if if it got its name because of this verse, or if it got its name because of the type of problems they had there. But I found a few pictures, and this is one of what it would have looked like in Jesus' time, artist's rendition. And if you see where it's at, it's way up top there. You see where Capernaum is. And if you keep going up the Jordan River, and you see it way up near the top of this map. Those are some of the pictures from yesterday. Oh, there's another. Here's another picture of it, what it looks like now. The ruins. And there's a better map showing where Caesarea Philippi is. It's actually, when it says on the coast, it's actually on the coast of the of a river, not a lake. I thought I had a little picture of it. Okay, that was it. So I'll continue reading. Now, build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, and, they call it the, that's what they call the area, is the gates of hell. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whosoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now let's take a couple of the other. Mark goes on to say that, starting in Mark 8:27, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And he answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. Very similar to Matthew. And he said, saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And then over in Luke, we got 9, it's in 9:18. This one starts just after the feeding of the 5,000, so it starts a little bit different. And it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? And they answering say, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man this thing. So that was pretty much the that particular incident. Now I'm going to go back to Matthew. And I think we left off in verse 19. Yes. 20 actually says the same thing the other ones. Then charged he, his disciples, said that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Then he goes on to start speaking. And this gets into where Peter kind of, something happens. And it almost seems like Satan gets involved here. So we'll read here, starting in verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things unto the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, but it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. No, Peter, he always, he just had a great moment, and the Lord praised him for it, and here he is, he's going to be rebuked. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So he had to turn around and kind of reminds me sometimes when we have to deal with our own children. You want to, one minute you're giving them praises and they're doing great, and the next minute we have to discipline them. But Jesus went on to use this example, and he said unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Something that we're all looking forward to someday. Verily I say unto you, there will be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. We'll probably look at that thing tomorrow. Then in Mark, this particular, when I leave off, Mark, yeah, in 8:31, similar thing. And he began to teach him that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spoke that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whoso will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Sounds like there was more than just the disciples there when it says, he called the people unto him. There's some evidence too that not just the disciples used to follow him around. There was quite a gathering. We know that some of the ladies used to follow also, Mary and Martha, I think. I know Mary Magdalene for sure. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. And we'll go on to Luke's rendition of this. See where I leave off. Yeah, right here. Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Pretty much the three gospels are pretty exact of each other. And he said to them all, if any man shall come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke didn't mention the Peter incident portion of this. I find it kind of interesting that for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So in this particular case, it was interesting that this particular incident was almost exactly the same by all three Gospels. So that was today's lesson I think that important lesson today is that we know that Peter was always one to kind of jump to conclusions. And even though he had a great moment there on the first part of it, so I think it's the lesson I get from it anyways, is that even though sometimes we succeed in our quest for life, that there'll be times too that we need a little correction too. And I think the thing that I've learned all of my life is that when God is correcting you, that's a good thing, because it means he loves you. And that and sometimes we don't like the correction. And I guess the important thing to remember is to take that lesson to heart and not repeat it. So on that, today's prophecy moment, kind of along the same lines, we see here that going back to that verse where Peter, let me find it again, right here. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this was actually prophesied in Isaiah 9:6. This would be about 700 years earlier. Isaiah said, now realize that here he's prophesying three things. And we know, being that the Christmas season is coming up, we're all very familiar with this verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And this is the portion we're in right now. Unto us a son is given. And it's important to know that that Peter recognized at this point that Jesus is the Son of God, and that to confirm his deity. I'll just finish the verse. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, which we look forward to coming up in the 1,000-year millennium reign. So that's still future. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I think we've all seen a Christmas card or two with that verse on it. So that's our prophecy moment for today, that Peter here recognized that this prophecy had come true. That's all I had for today. Maybe a little bit shorter day today. And I'll end with a closing word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this, to know that you are always there to praise us and also to correct us. And we appreciate that, Lord. And thank you so much that we are worthy to be praised and to be corrected. Thank you so much, Lord, for this day and for all you do for us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. And you guys have a great day. And I'll talk to you again. Well, actually, today's Friday. So I'll talk to you again Monday. And don't forget that Sunday at 9 a.m. we have our church service. And our regular main worship service at 10. Evening service at 5 p.m. And so we'll see y'all then. Have a great day.